Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram with yours truly, Danny Brown. And tonight, I've got a guest that I've known for a good few years, probably at least 10, I'd imagine, Billy Knapp. Welcome, Billy. How are you doing?
Doing very well, Danny. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. Now, is it Billy or Bill? Do you have a preference?
I actually do not have a preference. I go by both. My birth certificate actually has Billy on it, so.
All right, So it was never a William shortened down to Bill then? It was actually Bill from birth?
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Because the Bills I know, it's normally, you know, William. Like, I'm Daniel, but that's my Sunday name. Or I know I'm always in trouble if, you know, my mum calls me Daniel or my wife calls me Daniel. So, but you don't have that. So that's awesome. Yep. Now, I think, before we get into the show, as is my wont, it's Life Through a Dram, obviously. Now, I know you like a good craft beer, and I know, I think you enjoy a good scotch and rye. What have you brought out of bourbon? What have you brought this evening?
You know, I actually been working on my son's Jeep ready for him to move out and go off to college. So I'm just having a craft beer with you on the show tonight.
Okay, that's all good. What have you got there?
I was actually drinking its Death by Coconut from Oscar Blues Brewery. Oh. It's a coconut vanilla porter.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I do like a porter. I love a porter, and especially vanilla porters. I had a coconut stout the other day, which I wasn't quite keen on, but that sounds really good. So, well, I've got a nice Glenlivet 15-year-old French oak here. So it's like a single malt, but it's been, you know, double distilled in cognac barrels as well. So it's really smooth. So I'm going to cheers you to that with your coconut vanilla porter. Cheers, boo. So you mentioned you're getting your son ready to go to college. Is that the first one to go?
Out of the two children that my wife and I have together, he will be the first one. Him and his sister are both seniors, and they both go to a small charter school. And because of that, they've had the opportunity to actually go to college early. So both of them have been, this is their second year at Colorado State University. Wow. And so when they're done, my daughter will have 2 out of 4 years towards her psychology major and minor in music done. And then my son will have 2 years of programming and computer science towards his degree. And he's actually going to Florida to Full Sail University under their game development program.
Oh, that is awesome. I know people always say, you know, and I can't recall who said it. I think it may have been someone from Apple or Google, but we should be teaching more kids to code these days as opposed to, you know, trigonometry or something you rarely ever use in actual life. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. I'm actually pretty proud of both of them. They, I don't know, they just blow my mind all the time. my daughter, you know, I'm kind of a mix. I'm the highly technical. I've been a senior software engineer for a good number of years. Also write a lot of poetry, song lyrics, and have been playing guitar for, I think, 30 years now. And so to see my son get that highly technical side and my daughter took the music side, and they're like complete polar opposites in their creativity and what they want to focus on. And it's just really cool to see how that's unfolded over the last 17, 18 years.
And see, and that always amazes me because you don't seem that old. You know, I've known you, like I mentioned earlier, I think we met probably back in the 12 or 12K days. So that's what, maybe 9, 10 years ago. Right. And you don't seem old. So I get, did you have kids young then or?
I think I was 23 when my son was born and I'm 42 now.
Right. So yeah, I guess it's because I was an older dad when my kids were born. So I always trying to picture people that say, well, my kids are, you know, 15, 19, 20 year old. I think, well, you're the same age as me, or you're older. You just look great then. So What made your daughter go towards psychology? Is that something that she picked up at school, something she's always been interested in, or?
Actually, it's kind of a real close personal story, and I'm happy to share it. She's always loved music, kind of was into the psychology and stuff a little bit. May of last year, though, I myself hit pretty rough patch of life, and a lot of things going downhill as far as my job, dealing with some issues here at the home with my older stepchildren at the time who were still living here, and really got down on myself, and actually spent about 9-12 hours in the local hospital on suicide watch.
Oh, wow.
Through that, my daughter and I, we had to have those real conversations of why did I get there? Was it her? No, it's not you. It's, what was going on inside of me, not being able to process what life was thrown at me. And she got the idea that music therapy and psychology through music to actually go help people.
Wow. That's amazing on so many levels. A, that you had the courage to recognize that something was wrong and it had to be fixed, or not fixed, that's a horrible phrase to use. I apologize. But you recognize, you were at that point. And B, for your daughter to take that conversation and these talks that she had with you to make something that she wants to do with her life. That's just like an incredible cool story, if cool's the right word.
Right. And you know what I've learned to call it is transform.
Right.
Because I don't even like the word change. It's like a caterpillar transforms to a butterfly. It doesn't change to a butterfly. And so transforming on that, and cool is definitely a good word to use for it.
Well, no, I like the fact that you mentioned it's a transformation, because, we're always evolving. We're always growing as people. And the person we were, say, 20 years ago is nothing like the person we are today. And, I don't even know if I'd be friends with the guy I was 20 years ago. I'm not sure about you.
20 years ago, I would definitely be more friends than the guy I was last year. I'll be honest with you, the work I've done since then, I've done a lot of personal development work in the last 7-8 months, really has changed not only how I look at myself, but how I look at others. It also has changed how I allow the world around me to actually impact me, mentally, physically, emotionally, and all of that. So it's been really awesome just looking at that. And I would say 20 years ago, I was better than last year. So that's kind of a weird question to answer.
Well, yeah, and it's, obviously it's different for everybody. But yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. And I think that's one of the things like I mentioned, we've known each other a while now. And one of the things that I do appreciate about you, and I have appreciated, pretty much since the day we met, is the fact that you are open about, things that you may be going through and weaknesses or failings or whatever, and you're willing to share that and be open about that. Is that something that just comes naturally? Is that something you've had to find in yourself, or?
That's like a Pandora's box almost. There are so many aspects of it that do just come natural. There's been a lot of things though, over the years that I really haven't really talked or told or shared, not even journaled about it. And that's, kind of part of where I found myself last year was, wow, where's all this coming from? What's triggered it? Why is it being triggered? And so I've done a lot of exercises that actually, I've gone through and analyzed and realized, there's a lot of memories that I've just kind of shoved down over the years. And so, yeah, on one hand, I can just throw it out there and it doesn't bother me. And then I look at some of the stuff that, you know, has come up in the last several months of doing all this growth work. And it's like, wow, I didn't realize 15, 20, 30 years ago, that incident has been an underlying factor. And to actually have it come up to the surface, a lot of that, I knew it was there, didn't realize, oh, it's not really impacting or playing a part in anything, is always my thought process. So I never told anyone.
Right. And obviously that led to the point of last year where I guess it all came to a head then.
Right. Right. And I know for me, the journey I find now, is I look at the adversity in the world and I realize I had all that adversity inside myself with myself. And that's ultimately what I've come to realize is, and I think a lot of us are this way. I've been contact probably 250 different people now through various courses, classes, groups, and things I've been doing. And so many of us think that, oh, well, I'm not like that person or this person or the other one. And come to find out, once we get into the work and get down to the brass tacks of why are we here? What are we doing? There's so many similarities, and you see it playing out in the world, in how people respond to negativity and positivity. When someone pushes out the negativity or positivity, and that's a constant battle inside of us. And, like I've always told people, I'm a sponge, and if I'm around negativity, I'm going to be the largest negative jerk you've ever met.
Right.
And I just absorb it. And so that was a big realization for me to have, is not only that outside effect, but then the effect when it's inside of finding that balance,
Well, and especially today, I mean, you mentioned that you're a sponge when it comes to emotions, whether that's positive or negative. And you see the divisiveness that's online, whether it's politically, religiously, culturally, there's a lot of divisiveness. And I can only imagine what it'd be like to have all that, playing around you, soaking it in, but not really up until the development you've gone through yourself, not knowing how to release that effectively and how to, cope with it or manage it better. So I can only imagine what that must be like, to soak that kind of stuff in.
Right. And that's something that, I've actually learned is taking it in doesn't mean I have to make it personal. And that's a lot of what I found I do is personalize it. And there's a lot of that. And a lot of that stems from when I was a little kid. And that was kind of the story I shared with you via email earlier was, being different really struck a lot of negative input into me when I was younger. And realizing now that that's actually causing issues, 20, 30, 40 years later, just because, as a kid, how do you deal with that? I don't think any child's equipped to deal with some of the negativity that's, out in the world and surrounding them, whether it be at home, at school, it doesn't matter.
No, I mentioned before that our son has anxiety issues, and we always look to how we can, my wife suffers from anxiety too, so she's really attuned to his emotions, and you make a great point that kids aren't aware or ready to face everything that's coming at them, whether it's emotionally, physically, structurally or whatever. And part of me thinks, I know we teach like the basics of school. So you've got English, math, history, all that good stuff, I guess. But I'm seeing a lot of people online now saying that we have to teach empathy and we have to teach emotions as a part of, you know, this is what's going to really equip you for the years ahead, as opposed to a nondescript Latin lesson that nobody really speaks anymore. I'm wondering if that's maybe something we have to, I know everything starts at home. That's one of the, you know, the ongoing sayings, but I'm wondering if there's something we have to do more at school from a young age to teach that empathy, to teach that kindness and acceptance.
You know, that's actually interesting. You brought that up. One of the courses I took, it was actually the very first personal development course I took. And it was 3 days long. And one of the comments that the facilitator made was they had someone who had two Ivy League degrees go through this class and said, you know, if we taught this to kids in school, the whole world would be completely different.
Wow.
And it's that simple fact of, you know, and this is, you know, coming from my personal experience, you know, when I hit that wall, you know, my wife and kids were like, wow, are we that bad that you're at this point? And after taking some of these classes, it's like, no, I was that bad because I was not equipped to handle everything where it was. And you're definitely not where they're at. And so actually I've taken them through some of the classes I've gone through as well. And it's been amazing how they look and interact different with everyone around them now. And it's that understanding that, hey, what mom or dad does isn't necessarily my fault. Now, it may or may not affect me positive or negative. However, because mom and dad have this going, they're not really equipped. Therefore, I'm not really equipped. And you kind of see how it just kind of cycles through the generations. And I mean, it was mind-blowing for me to really stop and think about, you know, wow, I'm not the way I was because of anything my parents did, anything that the bullies at school did. I was that way because I wasn't equipped on, oh, hey, this is a piece of garbage. Let me take it out of me. Let me get it handled differently through a positive outlet and, you know, move through it. And that's another thing is, you know, I myself would find myself sidestepping a lot of these issues. And well, if I go around it far enough, it'll just go away.
Right. No, I know we'd spoken, I think it may have been last year, towards the tail end of last year, maybe September time or so. You'd mentioned about because of the journey you'd had last year and the lessons learned and the ongoing, you know, lessons you continue to learn. You were mentioning about starting your own podcast about, you know, personal development, personal belief. And is that still on? Have you done anything with that? Or
I actually have. I got the intro down for it. I actually wrote a little bit of guitar music for it. And I've got the first 4 or 5 episodes planned out as far as what I want to talk through and go through. And so at this point, I've kind of put that on hold. And part of that was between, I want to say, August and December. I actually put so much into the personal development classes I was taking. I didn't make time for it. And then also, you know, in September, let's see, this is what, January?
Yeah.
So in September, I actually left my job. I'd had for almost 5 years, work from home, senior software engineer, because I realized what a toxic environment, even though it was working from home, what a toxic environment it was. And so I've kind of shifted gears, been doing some other things here to replace that income that was lost and kind of focusing on getting me through, you know, to the point of where we're at now. and get through the holidays. So I would say if I had to guess, I'm looking at probably March to launch that.
Awesome. Well, you'll have to let me know when it is, because obviously, you know, I'd like to listen to that. I mean, it's been amazing just listening to you talk about your experiences tonight. And I don't know if you ever sort of fall back and you need extra income or whatever. I think you should do courses on how to slow cook roasts and, you know, use smokers, etc. Because I always look at your barbecue photos that you post up on Facebook. Super jealous, wishing I was like your next door neighbor.
Well, I know that's one of my hobbies, and you know, cooking is almost therapeutic at times for me. And I don't know, there's something about when you're able to get a nice brisket or nice rack of ribs, and you know, it takes you 10, 12, 18 hours, depending on, you know, whatever you're making. And it's like, wow, a day later I have a meal. And it's just, it's mind blowing that there's that much time. There's not a whole lot of effort. There's more prep.
Right.
And then it's hurry up and wait.
I mean, nothing like the stuff you make. But Thanksgiving last year, we were up at the cottage up in North Ontario. And it was the first time I ever made a turkey on the barbecue. And we took about 10 hours on that. And it just tasted so different. So I can only imagine what a really good, you know, brisket or rack of ribs on the smoker would be like over, you know, a day and a half. So one of these days, I'm definitely going to get out your way and sit down and, you know, talk some more, you know, stories with you over some of the food you've been cooking.
That'd be awesome. I might even have to homebrew batch of vanilla porter.
Wow,
for you.
Wow, now you are talking. So, Bill, this has been amazing. I really appreciate you coming on. If people want to find you online and connect with you and talk more about the topics you've spoken about tonight and, you know, and maybe get your own advice about, you know, expanding, where's the best place that they can find you on?
They can find me on Twitter at South Platte, on Facebook, just Billy Nab.
Okay.
And Instagram, I think I'm just Billy Nab as well.
Okay, well, what I'll do, I'll make sure that I drop the links in the show notes and people can connect with you, because I know, you know, like I say, we've known each other for years and I've always appreciated, you know, the way you've approached stuff, and listening to some of the stuff that you shared tonight makes me appreciate it even more. So, you know, I'm sure others can get a lot of lessons from that.
Awesome. Well, I've appreciated knowing you, Danny, and you're one of the first people that, I mean, that positivity that I'm working towards. You were one of the first people online I've met that actually had that, and, you know, always had this air of inclusion and air of what can I do to make this space better. And I've always appreciated that about you.
Oh, cheers. I appreciate that. I think I've got a bit more cynical in the last 10 years, but I appreciate that. And the 12 for 12 project was a fun thing. It was great. It brought so many good people together. All right. So this has been another episode of Life Through a Dram, guys. I hope you enjoyed Bill's, you know, stories and personal experience this evening. I've really enjoyed listening to mine. I know there's a lot of great stuff that you can take away. As I mentioned, I'll drop his details down in the show notes. Until next week, I hope you're all enjoying the week or weekend whenever you listen to this. And until next time, Slanjevar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.